Shabbat Shalom and welcome to this week's Living Torah. Back here in the trailer. Yes, we got back and it's finally looks like it's moving day. It's this at least next couple days we're about to close, God willing. And wouldn't you know it, I got back in town from Florida. Spent the last week, of course, many of you know, with at my mother's house, putting in about 100 hours there last week, getting everything done. And came back Monday morning, got a phone call. Hey, all this title stuff, everything's no problem, and we're ready to close. So, wouldn't you know it? I mean, it's just, you know, folks, those of you that have been, you know, listening for a little while, it is just amazing to me to watch the Father's hand in our lives over the last few months, especially since this tornado hit here. And I know maybe you get tired of hearing that, but you know, it's just the first I remember the first thought that I had after stepping out of the Connex is, Father, I desire you to receive glory through this. And you know, I feel like we've failed in places and we've succeeded at times, and He has just been so incredibly faithful that just I can't hardly describe it, really. And I pray that you have seen something, and maybe it's caused you to be a little bit more cognizant of His hand in your life, because this is not just something He desires to do in my life and Kathy's and our kids. It's something that He desires to do in each one of our lives, that He could show Himself strong, He could show Himself mighty in our lives on a daily basis, so that we would be the light for those around us. There's a few things happening in the news, of course. It's not being reported on a lot, or at least it wasn't as of this morning. And that is, first of all, that rockets coming in from Lebanon into Israel. Of course, the Israelis, they were digging up some trees on Israel proper. And because of that, the Lebanese soldiers started shooting, and one was killed, and some others were injured. The rumors, or the intelligence, whatever you want to call it, that I've been receiving is that war will happen in Israel, probably this fall. Well, we don't know. It's anybody's, I think at this moment in time, it's anybody's guess. Of course, this morning, Ahmadinejad, whatever his name is, Ahmadinejad, or whatever his, there was a homemade grenade thrown at him. And, you know, they, of course, are trying to play that down in the media. Probably the biggest thing this week is this thing with the mosque on at the World Trade Center being built right next to it. And I talked to Paul Sherbo, IFBN Radio, yesterday. We're discussing this. This thing, see, it's more than just what these stupid people. There's just no other way to describe these people than just absolutely stupid. They have not researched anything. They don't know anything. It goes back to the scriptures in the scripture of Proverbs, and maybe you've never heard me teach on this scripture. But in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 4, it says, those who abandon Torah praise the wicked. The farther a person gets away from God, the farther a person gets away from the Torah, the more they will praise the wicked. What they don't understand is this is not just a community center, but anywhere that the Muslims purchase and build a mosque, they believe that that land is no longer a part of the country that they're in. So whether they build a mosque in Europe or in the United States or wherever it may be, when they purchase that land, they believe that the laws of the sovereign nation that they are in no longer apply to that place, but the Sharia law takes over. And so they basically consider themselves as walking off. When they step into that mosque, they walk out of the United States and they walk into Mecca. And so it's more than just a statement of, oh, well, of whatever. You know, it is foolishness, and it is another sign that the United States is falling, and falling rapidly. And maybe some people don't like to hear you say that, but it's the truth. We see it happening right around us. You know, I received an email last week that is probably, I don't know if I mentioned this last week or not. If I did, I'm sorry. I came back, when did I come back? I got in Sunday. And I tell you, I'm really exhausted today. I've been trying to get some stuff ready for the move. And, you know, exhaustion is just kind of a way of life right now. Only a few more days till Shabbat. I tell you, I just, you know, the idea of Shabbat anymore is just means so much more, you know, when you're working hard. And I know many of you do the same. You work hard during the week. And the idea of Shabbat. But somebody emailed me, I think it was last week, and they said it was a question of consider with where America is today, and you know, think back 10, 20 years even, and where we've come in 10 or 20 years. Think about what's being portrayed on the television that would have been banned 10 or 20 years ago. Think of what is being portrayed on our streets and various places. Can you imagine what America would be in 10 or 20 years from now, given the downhill slide that we are on? Imagine what this country would be in 10 or 20 years. Now let me ask you a question. Would you want to live there? Would you want to live and raise your children in what America will be in 10 or 20 years? And the thought that America can change, that the Tea Party movement is going to all of a sudden overtake everything and we're going to change back. No, it's not going to happen, folks. Because, see, our elected officials are literally a microcosm of what this country actually is. So, I'm going to get off the political for now. I didn't really want to go there to begin with. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through chapter 16, verse 17. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 11 through chapter 55, verse 5. And 2 Kings chapter 4, 5, and 6. Let's go first of all to Deuteronomy 11, 26. It says, "See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you listen to the mitzvot of Adonai, your Elohim, that I'm giving you today. The curse if you don't listen to the mitzvot of Adonai, your Elohim, but turn aside from the way I am ordering you today and follow other gods that you have not known." And, okay, Moses, we've heard this before. You know, it's just over and over again, all the way through the Torah, and specifically now that we're in Deuteronomy, it's just the same thing over and over again, and it's the same thing speaking to us. This is why I got a fly in here. I have something in common with Obama. There's a fly trying to land on me. Sorry, I said I wasn't going to get political. This verse right here, okay, if you read these verses over and over and over again through the Torah, you go through the rest of the scripture, okay, it's all about obedience. Obedience to what? Obedience to the Torah. And this is why the enemy knows that he could not get a people for the last 2,000 years to believe that they were a part of Israel and that they should be disobedient to the commandments. So what do? He through through Constantinian Christianity, and I'll talk about that more in a moment, through all this, what do? He tried to get you and me to believe that we weren't part of Israel, okay? To deny the scriptures over in Ephesians, for example, Ephesians chapter 2, that you and I are grafted in and brought into the commonwealth of Israel, to deny the scriptures of Romans, to deny all the rest of the scriptures that tie this together, that you and I have been taken out of this thing called the world. We have been redeemed. We have been saved. And when we are grafted into the commonwealth, the people called Israel. You know, if that's the one thing that a person could get through their mind, it would be that right there, to understand who you are. Because see, if the enemy can get you to the place that you don't understand who you are, that you think, oh, I'm a Baptist, or I'm a this, or I'm a that, or, you know, I'm the other thing, or I'm a as one friend says, if you're a purple cat or whatever, if you can get a person to believe there's something else other than Israel, then you can get them to deny the obedience to the Torah. It's like a pastor, some of you have heard me talk about years ago, I was talking to him about these things, and he said, well, I know that, you know, I was talking to him about Yeshua did this and this and this, and he said, I know that, but he was a Jew, and I'm a Christian. You know, how do you respond to something like that? He's a Jew. I'm a Christian. He's a Jew. I'm a Baptist. He's a Jew. I'm an Assembly of God. He's a Jew. I'm Holiness Pentecostal. He's a Jew. I'm Catholic. I thought that we were to imitate him. Okay, I'm saying the same thing that I've been saying, the same as Moses is saying it over and over and over again in his 34 chapter goodbye to the children of Israel. He's just hammering this thing in upon them. And he goes on in verse 12, here are the laws and rulings you are to observe and obey in the land Adonai, the Elohim of your ancestors, has given you to possess. As long as you live on earth, you must destroy all the places where the nations you are dispossessing serve their gods, whether on high mountains, on hills, or under some leafy tree. Break down their altars. Smash their standing stones to pieces. Burn up their sacred poles completely. Cut down the carved images of their gods. Exterminate their name from that place. You know, I've been talking about, you know, last month I released this CD that Barry Phillips up in Virginia did about Confessions of an Anti-Semite. Confessions of an Anti-Systemite. Okay, make sure you got that one right. Had too many things lately that people have started to hear things that weren't really there. Okay, Confessions of an Anti-Systemite. And how he basically brought out that the Messianic movement today has become the same as the Constantinian Christianity system with a new tag on it. And I've taken this a little bit farther and talked with you in the last weeks about how this Hebraic roots restoration movement is the same system. It's just a different menu, different dates that we observe, and different style of music. It's really the same, folks. Why? And I'm not saying that we turn our back on it, okay? It's kind of the best thing going right now. But if we would stop and consider the system that it has become, we would be able to go back and destroy that which we did not destroy, that which was not destroyed when this movement started back in the 60s and then got really going in the late 1990s. There are things that were not destroyed. One of those was bigger is always better. You know, we got to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And how big was your conference this month and this year? And how big was your conference? And all of these things that it's just basically the same thing, because we refused to destroy that which we should have destroyed many, many years ago. So, just something to think about and consider. We go on down into chapter 13, and we read about, in chapter 13, verse 2, it's going to be the same subject for me, that if a prophet or someone gets messages while dreaming, arises among you and gives you a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder comes about as he predicted when he said, let us follow other gods, which we have not known, and let us serve them, you are not to listen to them. To what another prophet or dreamer says. For Adonai your Elohim is testing you in order to find out whether you really do love Adonai your Elohim with all your heart and with all your being. These are the verses that should have been used 1700 years ago, when the verses of 2 Thessalonians, now I'm just going to go over there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, I believe it is. Chapter 2, starting in verse 5. Don't you remember that when I was still with you, I used to tell you these things, and now you know what is restraining, so that he may be revealed in his own time. For already this separating from Torah is at work secretly, but it will be secretly only until he who is restraining is out of the way. Then the one who embodies separation from Torah will be revealed. The one whom Adonai Yeshua will slay with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the glory of his coming. See, if 1700 years ago the people had have stood up to Constantine and to Marcion and to all of these different church leaders and said, what you are doing is taking us away from the one true God. You know, if you go to Daniel chapter 8, chapter 9, right in there, I believe it is, it talks about how it is the anti-Messiah, the pseudo-Messiah, who will change the times and the seasons. If you're celebrating today a feast and festival that is outside of... Now, I'm not talking about celebrating 4th of July, okay? I'm talking about if you're celebrating Christmas and calling it Sukkot, you're celebrating Easter and calling it Passover, you're celebrating the times that are set out by the anti-Messiah, the pseudo-Messiah. Just the truth. And I'm sure, and most of you know it, you know. But why does he bring all this about? Okay, what is he doing here to bring all this about? What is the purpose of all this to separate us from these other gods? What is the purpose that we would go in into our lives and we would destroy that, which is a false god, an idol in our life? Why? It's in chapter 14 when it says, Adonai your Elohim has chosen you to be his own unique treasure out of all the peoples on the face of the earth. What a humbling, an incredible statement that Adonai, I talked about this week, this last week, Adonai, Yudhei Vavhei, the creator of the universe, has chosen you and I to be his own unique treasure upon the face of this earth, to walk out our days before him, to love him. I had some, a friend of mine sent me some scriptures that I'm going to be doing some teaching here in not too long from now. Go back to last week's Torah portion, and it's in Deuteronomy chapter 10. These words, I want to go back, and I'm going to spend some time in the coming weeks and months going back and looking over these verses. He sent me a study on this whole thing. In chapter 10, verse 12, so now Israel, all that Adonai, your Elohim, asked from you is to fear Adonai, your Elohim. Follow all his ways. Love him. Serve Adonai, your Elohim, with all your heart, with all your being, to obey for your own good the mitzvot and regulations of Adonai, which I'm giving you today. See the sky, the heaven beyond the sky, the earth and everything in it belongs to Adonai, your Elohim. Only Adonai, your Elohim, only Adonai took enough pleasure in your ancestors to love them. Choose their descendants after them yourselves above all people, as he still does today. Go back and read those verses. You know, I didn't go into those verses last week. Go back and read them. Spend some time in those verses. Here is what he requires of you and I. It's as simple as this. To fear him, to have a reverent awe of who he is. And out of that reverent awe would come a love, it would come an obedience. Reminds me a lot of the scriptures over in 1 John when he talks about the fathers and the young men and the children. How our lives, as we learn to fear him, we learn to love him. We learn to obey him. Go back and look at those scriptures in 1 John. This is what he requires of each of us, is to fear him, to love his name, so that we would be, Isaiah 56, same thing. Go back and read Isaiah 56. It's a progression of our love for him, that he desires for us to love him in such a way that we would be obedient to the point of being different in this world around us, a unique treasure for him. You know, as I was cleaning out my mother's house last week, there was a lot of years of a lot of stuff. And somebody said, well, why don't you just come in here and, you know, and get a couple of people to come in and help you? And I said, well, for the first thing, I have a real hard time with people helping me, because normally what happens is you get somebody that wants to help you, and all they end up is they want to talk to you and not do anything and then distract you. So I find that in the end, it's kind of, a lot of times it's easier just to go ahead and do the work myself, you know. But the main reason was this. I told someone, the reason I can't just have somebody come in and just go through and help is they don't understand the unique treasures. Okay, to most people, they would have gone through the whole house and just found a lot of stuff to throw in the dumpster. And yes, I found a lot of stuff to throw in a dumpster. Just like I could find in my house and just like I could find in your house. I found a lot of things that should go in a garage sale or a garage giveaway. But there was things throughout the house that were unique treasures. There was memories that were there. And if I had brought somebody else in to help, many of those unique memories, they'd have looked at something and to them that would be meaningless. But there was something about it that to me made it a unique treasure for me to find. There were some things that I brought back with me and still have to bring back that are unique treasures. Okay? He is looking for, in all the junk of the world, in all the dumpster stuff of the world, and all the garage sale people of the world, he's looking for unique treasures of those who would look at his commandments and say, yes, I don't care what it means. I desire to be different than everyone else, if that's what he desires. Now, over in Deuteronomy chapter 16, and this Torah portion is going to be a little bit shorter this week, I know. Just because it's, you know, one of those things this week. I guess I've said that a number of times in the last weeks. You guys are incredible I get in a lot of trouble sometimes for just kind of teaching out of my life, but that's what I do. I mean, that's what this is, okay? That's what this is a group of people that allowed us to learn from their lives. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, he goes back and he says, observe the ninth of Aviv to keep Pesach to Adonai your Elohim. And he goes back through once again. He goes back through and he tells the people, you are to observe the festivals. Now, a few weeks ago, I was teaching about the festivals as Moses was once again reminding them about it. And it got back to me the other day that I guess someone out there or some group out there thought that what I said was that you weren't supposed to keep the festivals. Well, it's interesting that it came back to me through a few other people, and that those people or person that did this didn't bother to call me, didn't bother to email me, but just assumed that this is what I said. When they were challenged, they said, you know, well, where does it say that? Well, I just heard that. I don't think that's the Torah, do you? I don't think that's anywhere in the Scripture that we're to just repeat what we heard, okay? And folks, this is not just pertaining to me in these verses here. This is pertaining to everything in these days. We need to be people who are not just repeating what we heard, okay? But I want to go back, as Moses did, and he instructs the people on the festivals. And since we're coming up very, very soon to the festival of Yom Teruah, to Yom Kippur, and to Sukkot, that I never said that we were not to observe the festivals. What I said was this, that we should be checking ourselves of why we're observing the festivals. You know, there's some verses. I did not have time to go in and get the verse. They're in Isaiah, and this is actually repeated many times in the Scriptures. The Father actually said, the Almighty actually says this, I hate your festivals. Now, when he disowns the festivals, that's when you're in trouble. He said, I hate the festival. So, well, why did he put the festivals in if he hates them? No, it wasn't that he wasn't saying he hated the festival as he had given it, but he hated what people had done to the festivals, how they had turned it into something just for themselves. It was no longer about seeking Him. It was no longer about the cycles of righteousness. It was no longer about drawing close to Him and drawing close to each other. But they had turned the festivals into a way of profit for themselves. They had turned the festivals into all kinds of things. The debauchery or whatever had been done. So what my challenge is to you within the verses right here is, let's again, as we talked about a few weeks ago, Moses brings it up again. Let's again, before we get to Yom Kippur, before we get to Yom Teruah, before we get to Sukkot, let us go back and ask ourselves, why are we observing the festivals? What is the position of my heart in observing the festival? Why am I desiring to do the festivals? Where are you going? Who are you going to be with? Is it going to be a time? Have you set it up as a time to draw closer to Him, to draw closer to each other? Or is it just another time that, oh wow, I got a little vacation time, I can go off and do whatever? Okay, my challenge to you right here in these scriptures is to observe the festivals with a pure heart. I know that's the question I'm asking myself this year. We're having a few people going to a lake. Very low key this year. Going to be very, very, we're not even putting it out on the internet. You know, if somebody wants to come by, you're in the area, you want to come by and see us. Hospitality is what Sukkot was. Another part of Sukkot is hospitality. Email me, call me, be glad to tell you where I'm at. And come by and see us for a little while. Now the last verse, three times a year, all your men are to appear in the presence of Adonai, your Elohim, the place which He will choose. Now, this is basically, as we look at it, it says only the men are really required to observe and to go off and to observe these festivals. And basically, that's true. All the men are. But, you know, my question is, if the guys are going, shouldn't the ladies and the children be following also, right? So, guys, don't take this too literal that you just decide you're going to have a vacation without the family. You know, make sure that you take your family with you to draw closer to Him and to draw closer to each other in the place He will choose. Okay, you are to appear in the presence of Adonai, your Elohim, in the place which He will choose. Some have taken this verse to say, well, we're not in Israel, so since we're not in Israel, then we are not to observe the festivals. No, I don't read it that way. In the diaspora, He has, because of the disobedience of our ancestors, He has chosen to disperse us into the world. And as we come back to Him through repentance, teshuvah, as we come back to Him through repentance to observe His ways, to observe His mitzvot, His rulings, His instructions, His Torah, as we come back to observing His festivals, where I am today is a place of His choosing. So we observe the festival where we are, looking ahead for when we will be back in the land in that day with Him. The festival of Matzah, the festival of Shavuot, the festival of Sukkot. Now, I've had this discussion a number of times with people lately. I want to bring it up here. There are those that start to come out of a system, especially Christianity. You know, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know, visitation, prayer meeting, everything, and they'll quote the scripture of Isaiah or of Hebrews chapter 25, verse 10. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves, and so much the more as your day approaches. Okay. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves. When does the Torah tell us to assemble? Right here. We are commanded to assemble together. Now, assembly, as Yeshua would say, where two or three are gathered, there I am in their midst. Okay? It does not have to be 500 people. Doesn't have to be 100 people. He said two or three are gathered in his midst. There he is. There, in his name, there he is in their midst. We are to gather together with like-minded people during these times. Now, is there anything wrong with gathering other times? No, absolutely not. But if you are part of a system that is demanding you to be there, you know, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, whenever, you can look at them and say, you're not going to control me. I'm going to be controlled by the Scripture, not by you. If I desire to be somewhere else on your appointed schedule, I will not enter into the guilt that you're trying to put on me. Now, the rest of it. They are not to show up empty before Adonai empty-handed, but every man is to give what he can in accordance with the blessing of Adonai your Elohim has given you. I'm going to give you instruction here in the last few minutes of this video. The Scripture is very clear that when we come to the festivals, we are not to show up empty-handed. But we are to take count of how He has blessed us in the previous year, in the previous time since the last festival. And we are to give a part of our life, our increase. Now, this is above our tithe, okay? But we are to give something unto Him. Do not come empty-handed. It is not about our tithe. That's His already. But this is a specific offering, and it does not actually say that it has to be a monetary offering. But it could be produce from your garden. It could be a number of things. It could be some handicraft that you have done. But because of the blessing, maybe you're an artist, and so you've painted a number of pictures in the last since the last festival, and you bring one of those to the festival and you give it away. My assignment to you is this: take stock of what He has given you, and as you come to the festival of Sukkot, will be the next one, don't show up empty-handed. And I'm not asking, I'm not hosting a Sukkot this year. So I'm not asking for an offering, am I? I'm not asking you to give it to the ministry of Joined to Hashem. In fact, I'm going to really shoot myself in the foot right now. I'm not even going to ask you to give it at all to me or to this ministry. What I'm going to do is ask you to take an account of how the Father has blessed you since the time of Shavuot, to find an offering. It may be monetary, it may be other things, and to give to somebody. And in turn, you'll be giving to Him. So, kind of a different little twist there. Somebody not asking for money for themselves. Because it's going to be more of a challenge. See, anybody can go to Sukkot and write a $100 check or a $50 check or throw a $20 bill in the offering plate. What takes time and takes seeking Him, and I think that's what He wants anyway, is for us to seek Him about these things. Because in the seeking Him, we're going to find some incredible blessings, maybe some unique treasures along the way. And as we find those treasures, our testimony of sharing those treasures, we become that unique treasure unto Him. All right, got to go. Got to get some things together. This heat is just, we can only work just a certain amount of time in the morning and the afternoon of getting everything together. So it's just, I hope it's not as hot as it is here where you are at. I tell you what, I'm looking forward to the break of this thing, but it looks like it's going to be a few weeks from now. I've even thought of, what was that movie Al Gore did? Now I'm not going that far. I came to my senses. So, but at the same time, it's just flat hot outside. So, With that, Shavua Tov. Have a wonderful, blessed, and prosperous week. And I pray that you, I pray for you, and as well as for me, that this Shabbat is one that we will find shalom. We will find rest, not only for our spiritual bodies, but also for our physical bodies. I know many of you need it also. So with that, Shabbat shalom. And as you come out of the Shabbat, Shavua Tov.
Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha Yisa Adonai V'yasem lecha shalom.